Let's take our Bibles and let's go to Psalm 18. And that's where predominantly we will be. A few weeks ago, my wonderful wife was sharing the word, and she read something out of Psalm, and then I don't know if you guys remember what she said. She said, you ought to go back and read it. And so I did. I read it through, but then I had a very difficult time getting out of the first three verses. So I guess that's where the Father wanted me to share with you tonight. So tonight we're going to look at to know the Father personally. To know the Father personally. And it's been said that the universe that we live in was created to support the earth. And that the earth was made to support man. And that man was made to have fellowship with God. God Almighty wants us to know him intimately and personally. And if you look at the seven church epistles that's written to us, to the church, all seven of the epistles open to remind the believer over and over and over. It opens with that God is our Father. God is our Father. You know, I was thinking, it's one thing to have heard of a person. It's a whole nother thing to actually know them. And unfortunately, in our daytime and hour, many Christian believers have heard of God or they've been acquainted with God, but I'm not sure they really know God on an intimate and personal level. And God wants that for us. In fact, God will reveal as much of himself as one is able to believe. God will. He will reveal as much of himself to you as you're able to believe. So God wants to just keep pouring it on and pouring it on. And so here in Psalm 18 is where we'll be. And this psalm, according to some theologians, was written by David after God delivered him from the hands of Saul. So that's the background of this. So watch this. We'll start here in verse 1. Psalm 18, verse 1. David says, I will love thee, O Lord, my what?
Strength.
And this word Lord here is the word Jehovah. God in covenant relationship or contractual relationship with that which he has created. And I just thought it was interesting to see Jehovah and then David refers to Jehovah as my strength. You can only get this strength, or this strength can only be ascertained as a result of David's intimate fellowship with God. That's why David was able to declare that God was in fact his strength, because David had an intimate relationship with God. Isn't that fantastic? Just to think about that. So I will love thee, O Lord, O Jehovah, my strength. And in verses 1 and 2, you'll see tonight, you can debate whether it's 7 or 8. I came up with 8, and I'll tell you why. But you'll see 8 facets of God in the first 2 verses of Psalm 18. That David names God by various names. So that means David was very well adept and knew God on an intimate basis because he could describe God in these multiple different facets. He knew God. And in fact, here's another great thing you'll see as we go through here. The word my God, my rock, the word my is used 9 times in these first, I believe in these first 2 verses. My, something personal, something intimate. God and David knew each other. Isn't it a section where God declares David was a man after my own heart? He knew God. He knew God. Now, if you think about David being a man after God's own heart and what David knows, what's available to you and I to know about God? You think God may have revealed more of himself now than he did when David was alive? You think there's still more that God can reveal of himself to us if we're humble and we're meek and we go after this word? Sure enough, we most certainly can. And so let's look at this, some of these facets of God. And I'll show you how I came up with the number 8 here, because he's going to list some things, but he lists his strength twice. Okay, so you'll see this as we begin to go through it. And what does the number 8 represent spiritually?
New beginning.
Regeneration. It's also described to be super abundant. That's the number. And it also means to be new and fresh. So watch what David says. Verse 2. The Lord, and that word Lord again is Jehovah. The Lord is my what? Rock. And I looked up this word rock. It is literal and figurative. It was referred to as a cleft or a cliff in a rock where a person could go into the cliff or the cleft in the rock and hide themselves. So this rock here meant that God was David's stronghold. God was David's place of security and his place of refuge. But he describes Jehovah as my rock. Isn't that fantastic? And then he says, next thing in verse 2, my what? Fortress. And this word fortress could be described in this culture when they would look at a massive mountain or even a castle, they would describe it as a fortress. So once again, here's another way of describing God. Here's one in the Hebrew you'll like around fortress. It meant something that could not be penetrated. That's how David is describing God here. God is my fortress. And actually, you guys, I skipped. I was about to say, you let me skip it. But the word strength, I went right over that. Strength dealt with the category of when you had a sense of help or you needed help. God, David described God as his strength. That was where David went to when David needed help. When David needed to be sustained, he looked to God. Isn't that fantastic? We're supposed to look to God first. I think it was Bessie who declared, like, if you have a problem with another believer, the first place you should go is not necessarily to the believer, but to God and work things out with God. Because sometimes I've done that and it got all cleared up. I didn't even really have to talk to the believer because the person who was really off was me. And God would show me I was wrong. So there was really no need to go talk to that person. But here's David describing God, Jehovah, as his rock. Then he says he's my fortress. And then he says, and he is my what? Deliverer. Right on the heels of God delivering David. I don't know which situation, because you know if you read back, God delivered David from Saul multiple times. I just don't know which one this is. But in this situation, he describes him as my deliverer. And this word deliver in the Hebrew means to cause to escape, watch this one, to slip away. Isn't that fantastic? Because once again, you read the battle or the conflict between David and Saul, and many times that's exactly what God did for David. He allowed David to slip away, to slip out of the grasp of Saul who was out to kill him. So keep your ribbon here, and let me show you how this relates to our day and time. Look at 1 Corinthians. Chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. God still makes a way for us in this daytime and hour to escape. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to who? Man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer or who will not allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation. See, that's the great mind picture, with the temptation. The moment the temptation comes up, you should be looking for something else that goes along with it. And what is that? But will with the temptation also make a way to what? Escape. That you may be able to bear. God will make a way for us to escape. He will make a way for us to slip out of the grasp, the trap, the connivings of the adversary. That's what God will do. And he will do it all the time because he describes himself here in verse 13 as faithful. That's what God does. He's faithful. Let's go back here to Psalm 18. Look at the knowledge that's available. Jehovah is my rock. Jehovah is my fortress. Jehovah is my deliverer. And then he goes to a different name here in verse 2. Then he says, my God. And that word God in the Hebrew is El, E-L. And that deals with God being omnipotent and almighty. Look at the vast knowledge and understanding that David had of God and his intimacy with God, that he could call God. My El. And then he goes again here, verse 2. My strength, that's the second time that appears, in whom I will what?
Trust.
My strength, in whom I will trust. Who was David's strength? Jehovah, El. God was his strength. He wasn't relying and depending upon his own strength. But you can read the record of David. When he did rely and depend on his own strength, what happened to him? Okay. He often got in trouble. He often fell flat. Well, guess what? Hint, hint, wink, wink. That's what will happen to us if we begin to depend and rely on our own strength. We can know God intimately and personally, just like David did. Next characteristic or facet of God, he describes God as my what? Buckler. And this word buckler here means to be a shield, a defense, or a protector. God was his defense, his shield, his buckler, his protector. I'm just amazed at all these things David knew. This isn't just a guy passing time and just coming up with these words off the top of his head. He knew each and every one of these aspects of God. And that just made his relationship with God that much more sweet, that much more intimate. However, though, for many believers, unfortunately, or for many people, God and his word is nothing more than a footnote on their self-absorbed lives. They don't take the time to reach out and to study the word and to begin to know God intimately and personally. God is, rather than them walking with God, they treat God as if God is just along for the ride. And that's not how we're supposed to live. God is our buckler. Now watch this next one here in verse 2. And the horn of my what? Salvation. If you look up the word horn and work it through, the horn often in Old Testament represented strength and power. He's saying God is the strength and power of his salvation, the strength and power of his wholeness. Keep your ribbon here and let's look at 1 Samuel. We'll see a couple of these. 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. And I love this section because this is in the section around Hannah and wanting to have a child, and she prays to God. But look what how she describes God here. 1 Samuel chapter 2, we'll see in verse 1. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted, where? In the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies because I rejoiced in thy salvation. She declared that her horn, her strength, and her power were exalted in the Lord. Okay, skip down to verse 10. Here's another one. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. This is all a part of Hannah's prayer. The adversaries of the Lord will be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Exalt the strength and power of the one who's anointed. Are we anointed? Of course we are. Why? Because it's God in Christ in us. We're anointed. So God will exalt that within us. I just think that's fantastic. Back to Psalm 18. Psalm 18 and verse 2. Describes God as the horn of my salvation. And then I just love this last one. And my what? High tower. God was his high tower. You look up high tower in the Hebrew, it deals with a place of refuge. It meant something that was secure based on its height. I saw one definition says that it was inaccessible. It was not an accessible place. It was also a place of retreat. David describes God as his high tower. Ever seen kids in the kitchen sometime and they're trying to get something out of cabinet and they're jumping? And they can't quite get it because it's out of their reach. Well, God will place us in an exalted position out of the reach of the adversary. Let's look at something here. Keep your ribbon here. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. David said God was his high tower. You and I have something today available to us that's even higher than David's high tower. Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 6. And have raised us up together and made us sit together where? In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. David had a high tower. You and I are raised, set, we're seated right now spiritually in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus. You can't get too much higher than that. That's where we're at. We can't get too much higher than that. So let's close back here in Psalm 18. Look at the intimate understanding that David knew of God. And I'm just touching on these things. I'm sure every one of these characteristics or facets of God could be a complete teaching series. Jehovah, my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. And then he closes with, well, not closes, but I'm going to close here, verse 3. I will call upon the Lord, that's Jehovah, who is worthy to be praised. I guess he is, if he's your rock, your fortress, and deliverer, and so on. So shall I be saved from my who? Enemies. That's what his knowledge and understanding. And you should, as Robin encouraged us before, go back and read the rest of this psalm. It is just absolutely fantastic. But I just wanted to share with you tonight that we can know God as intimately and personally as David did, and even more, because God has revealed more of himself to us in this day, in this time, and in this hour. And I was thinking today at work, like, we have no idea what's coming. We're looking forward to it, but we really don't. The word says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, or however it's described, what God has planned for those who love him. And in fact, that's why you got to have a new body. Because I think if God tried to reveal everything to us now, we would just implode. Right? Yeah. But we'll have a new spiritual body with great dynamic abilities and understandings. And God can then probably show every ounce of himself that he always wanted and desired to show to his kids. So let's get busy continuing to read the word, continuing to walk in fellowship with God, and continue to deepen our spiritual understanding and our personal relationship with our Heavenly Father.